Welcome back to another installment of Bitch Radio. This is Sherston Johnson, web content manager at Bitch Magazine. For our fourth podcast, we've got the scoop from Austin, Texas's Gay by Gay Gay, an interview with the hilarious Sarah Haskins, insight on what it's like to run a feminist record label, advice from everyone's favorite reproductive organ, and more. We've got a lot packed into one podcast, so let's get started. And just so you know, a few segments of this podcast do contain explicit language. Hey there, this is Kelsey Wallace from Bitch. A little while ago, Sherston Johnson, Danny Hayes, and myself traveled down to Austin, Texas for the South by Southwest Music Festival. While we were there, we were lucky enough to attend Gay by Gay Gay, a queer-friendly event that invites folks of all genders and backgrounds to come out and party and listen to music together during South by Southwest. It seemed to us like a perfect place to ask this podcast Bitch on the Street question. What gets you buzzed? Let's find out.
All right, so this is Danny from Bitch Magazine. We're down here at Gay by Gay Gay in sunny Austin, Texas. And we've pulled a few people aside to ask them some questions. So basically, yeah, we just want to know what gets you buzzed.
What buzzes me so much? I just turned 60 and I was pretty fucking buzzed by that. I really, it's so different than what you think it is when you're little, you know, and I wrote a rap song about aging that says, think about it differently, topple the myths. I'm pretty buzzed about all of that.
My name is Franco Perez. I'm from El Paso, Texas. My feminist buzz, I don't know, it's just an innate thing for me. I've always been attracted to women and anything that empowers women. I guess it has to do with the culture I grew up with, which is the Mexican culture, the Mexican working class culture, where I saw lots of women being abused, and I always knew that was wrong. So I think that's a big part of it. So like my favorite cartoon characters, my favorite action figures have always been women. My favorite bands have always, and my favorite performers have been women. It's just an innate thing for me.
Hey, so this is Danny, back again at Gay by Gay Gay, and with us right now, we have
Big Frida, the Queen Diva.
Nice, and tell us the name of your band and a little bit about it.
I'm a single independent artist out of New Orleans. I'm a bounce sissy bounce rapper. And what we do is, it's like bounce music. Bounce music is a heavy bass and call respond type music where we get the crowd really excited and amped up, and that's what gives me the buzz of getting my fans excited and getting them into the show and making them shake and have fun and enjoy themselves. You know, and we're at Gay by Gay 2009 in Austin, and I'm having a blast, and that's what's my buzz for tonight.
My name is Dave End, and I toured down from Philadelphia just to play it, because I love it here.
Awesome. So, and we have a recent buzz issue that just came out, so we're asking people what gets them buzzed.
Okay, I would say femme heroes, crazy ladies that put together amazing outfits, and making up partners for myself.
Who are you, some of your femme heroes?
I love Bea Arthur, who for me has taught, is like my totem animal and has taught me more about being unproblematically masculine than anyone else in the world. I also really love Miss Piggy. I know that's a throwback and it's kind of trite, but she's like the ultimate. Another femme hero of mine would have to be Justin Bond. I love Vaginal Cream Davis. I love... Yeah, I don't know. I love them all.
Hello there. My name is Deacon Cross, and I'm from Austin, Texas, and I'm part of the Queertastics cheer group. And what gets me buzzed would be working in the nonprofit sector, increasing awareness of the gender binaries that are still present today, and increasing awareness and diversity, and making a more body-positive environment.
I'm August, and what gets me buzzed is promoting equality within the queer community. Everybody gets to come out and have a good time, and nobody's treated unfairly or badly, which I think you can experience in other communities. But also, other than that, just definitely music, live music for South By is getting me buzzed already, which is a great time.
Thanks so much to all of you at Gay by Gay Gay who talked with us about what gets you buzzed. We had a blast, and we hope you did too. For more info on the festival and the artists involved, check out myspace.com/gaybygaygay. And remember, that's bi as in B-I, not B-Y. Hopefully we'll see some of you there next year with more Bitch on the Street questions.
And now a message from Bitch editorial director Andy Zeisler.
Are you looking for a way to raise money for your favorite nonprofit reader-supported media organization? Do you like to throw parties? Well, then you just might want to join our Bitch House Party campaign. We have a goal of raising $15,000 by June through house parties, which are simple to plan, fun to host, and a great way to recruit new readership and support for Bitch. You can make it a theme party, maybe a clothing swap, maybe an evening of Guitar Hero, or you can make it a classic night of food and booze. Either way, it couldn't be simpler. Check out the downloadable house party kit at bitchmagazine.org. And whatever type of fiesta you put on, you'll be helping us to reach our goal.
Women. For the new year, all the women in the world have resolved to lose weight. But how? Where can we find an array of tips on dieting and exercise? Oh, that's right. Everywhere.
For those unfortunate souls who aren't familiar with Sarah Haskins, she hosts Infomania's Target Women, a weekly installment on current TV mocking the ridiculous ways products and pop culture fads are marketed towards the fairer sex. Sarah's covered everything from wedding shows to Carl's Jr. to jewelry commercials.
This holiday season, there's only one way for a man to say I love you to his woman. Expensive, shiny rocks.
I spoke to Sarah by phone and began by asking how exactly she picks topics for Target Women.
Well, some stuff is sort of time sensitive, like when Twilight came out. Definitely wanted to do a Twilight episode, or after the Oscars and the whole brouhaha about Angelina Jolie and Jennifer Aniston. Mm-hmm. The newsworthy things, I mean, the concepts are often time-sensitive, I think. And then the products are a little bit more evergreen. Like, you know, we knew cleaning products from day one we'd hit, but I think that was like our seventh or eighth.
You can, like, store that away. We can always come back to the cleaning
product. We can come
product.
Back and get that one, yeah. It's, unless people stop cleaning immediately in a creepy future way.
I was wondering if it's ever tricky to approach a certain topic where you like, want to critique it, but then you, like, buy into the advertising.
Oh, sure. I mean, absolutely. Like, I am a woman, and I use several of these products. I'm not going to, like, stop using shampoo just because I want commercials. Yeah, I think you just have to remove yourself from that a little bit. And it's also more, like, the political one, the ones about Sarah Palin, I wanted to say something interesting but not be too heavy-handed. And I'm not a complete ideologue, so oftentimes, you know, something has to be pretty ridiculous for me to want to make fun of it. I'm not going to completely undermine the premise of, like, deodorant.
A lot of people have trouble reconciling, like, funny with feminism, including feminists, because sometimes people post your videos on blogs and someone's like, is this supposed to be a joke? And it's like, yes, it is supposed to be a joke. But I like how your show like, doesn't even try to reconcile those two things, but it does anyway. And I was wondering if you did think that, like, your non-feminist viewers are somehow picking up a feminist consciousness through watching this.
You know, people watching this in Infomania are, I don't know if they're picking up media criticism skills, which can be applied in a lot of ways. Yeah, it's a joke, and maybe it's made some people think about things they haven't before, which is good. But I don't know how much of a consciousness raising tool Target Women is. Maybe about the media, and maybe a little bit about feminism.
A little bit.
It's a potpourri of things. I mean, it's a comedy show. You know, so I don't feel like it's part of my mission to necessarily turn this into a long discourse on birth control and where it's available and how it should be available because, you know, humor gets people interested in things. And then if you want to pursue it, good for you. But, yeah, these three-minute segments on current are not the be-all, end-all of political action on women's issues.
As far as media criticism goes, I think you don't just show how advertisers are targeting women, but through your criticism you also show how, like, ridiculously men are portrayed in these commercials.
Absolutely. Like, everyone gets it in advertising.
I was wondering if you could speak about what it is about gender and marketing that's just, like, so weird. And
yes. Well, I mean, I'd say there's three problems. The first is that advertising, in the advertising I'm using, it's not niche-specific, right? It's broad. Mm-hmm. It's advertising that's on networks and, like, basic cable that's intended to grab as large an audience as possible. So you don't have time to sort of give your marketing nuance. And I think the second thing is that products are still associated with certain gender-specific spheres. like cleaning products and home products and things like that are still for women, and maybe there's like a nice daddy in the ad. But people don't advertise beer towards women ever. It's ridiculous. I drink a lot of beer.
I know, right?
My favorite thing to do. And so, but like, there's never been an ad that's like, ladies, need to relax? Want to say something dumb? Get your beer on. So the products also go into gender-specific ways. And then those, you know, that's supported by just cultural archetypes. And advertising is an aspirational business that is hopefully, well, their goal is to intend you to want to be the quintessence of whatever that product is, or whatever, you know, the perfect mom or dad or beer drinking football playing dude.
You should do like a Target women beer and then be like, just kidding, and then there's like no segment.
That's my week off. That's a great idea. I'd love that. And just me like drunk with a webcam being like no, but I think the other, I mean, it's a joke we use a lot, and that's a lot of where my motivation to do this piece came from, is like the obvious difference between your normal life and the advertising life.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge gap whether you're a man or a woman. I think it can be a little more pernicious for women, but there's obviously a huge gap there.
So, like, besides Target Women, you are a veteran improv actress and viral video director, and you were just published in the Post, the Washington Post. Do you want to keep going in a certain direction or try something new?
I think it's longevity in entertainment is important to me, and doing projects I care about with people I care about. So in addition to current, I have a writing partner, a friend of mine from college, and we just finished a screenplay. We're shopping around. It's going, yeah, and it's real. It's funny. This is a great place to work. But yeah, I see sometime down the road, TV, film, more writing.
Thanks again. We're a big fan of you.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
Take care.
Thanks.
All right. Bye.
Ever wonder what book Sarah Haskins would recommend to your mom? I did. Here, Sarah, a bibliophile, gives some hella stellar book recommendations at bitchmagazine.org/audio. Don't forget to watch her at current.com/target-women. Thank you, current.com and Miranda Gooding. BTW, Sarah has since sold her screenplay.
Everywhere for you. All the kids in school are talking about your new bitch t-shirt, but I wanted to see it for myself.
Kelsey, I'm so glad you're here. I've been meaning to tell you about this great new store I've been going to. It's a store online. It's Bitchmart at bitchmagazine.org/store.
That's really cool. What other kinds of stuff do they have at Bitchmart besides t-shirts?
You can find hoodies, aprons, and hats.
Do they have bags?
Totes.
Wow, that sounds like a great opportunity for me to look fly and support what I love.
Looks like I'll be seeing you at bitchmagazine.org/store.
Bitchmart!
Can these words take the place of my body feeling you and we're alone? Oh, wow.
Hey there, podcast listeners. This is Kelsey Wallace, the web editor at Bitch. Earlier this spring, I was lucky enough to get to sit down with the ladies who run Kill Rock Stars. It's an independently run, feminist, queer-friendly record label that began in Olympia, Washington in 1991. Kill Rock Stars is home to bands like Bikini Kill, Bratmobile, Slater Kinney, and Town Wynn. For a bit more background info, it's probably good to know that the label was started by a guy named Slim Moon and is now run by Portia Sabin and Maggie Bale. Kathleen, Toby, and Kathy are names of some of the members of Bikini Kill. I had the chance to talk with Maggie and Portia a bit about what it's like to be women running a feminist label in these troubled economic times. I'll let them introduce themselves. That way you'll know whose voice belongs to who.
I am Maggie, the vice president of Kill Rock Stars.
And I'm Portia, I'm the president.
Kill Rock Stars is known for supporting feminist, queer-friendly bands. How has that really come about, and how do you define feminism?
Well, I think it was a part of the initial identity, I mean, that Slim had. I think when he first started Kill Rock Stars, it was a spoken word label, and the first thing he did was the Kathleen Hanna Slim Moon split. I mean, you know, there was a compilation to sort of fund the rest of it, but I think his first concept was just to have a wordcore label. And it wasn't until other bands came around that weren't being documented by other labels, that he felt he had an obligation to document these things in Olympia that weren't getting released, like Unwound, like Bikini Kill, like Ratmobile. I mean, it was a real moment in time in Olympia, and it was really exciting. I mean, there's all these people going to school, and they're taking feminist studies courses at Evergreen. And I mean, I think Kathy and Toby were all in the same course, and that's how they met. You know, they were getting really angry, and they were in their early 20s in college, and had been going to punk shows their whole lives and felt really disconnected. And I think a lot of people felt that way at that time. I mean, hardcore was really alienating for women in the 80s. They've been doing all this, and they believed so much in this sort of punk world but felt excluded from it, that I think when they all met each other, it was like just this moment in time. And Kill Rock Stars just happened to be starting at that moment in the same place.
And I think, I mean, the stories that I've heard have basically been that Slim was really trying to document that scene,
yes,
that was going on in his community,
mm-hmm,
with a bunch of friends of his. You know, we joke that, like, this is the last place in the world you'll find a band of five dudes, you know, like, or when we get sent demos by bands of five dudes, we're like, are you guys confused? Like, where do you think, you know? And that said, we're still looking for, like, the best music, and we're looking for really great music, but it's not just entirely the music, it's also sort of what, you know, what community these people come from, what communities people are in, like, what they're... I mean, because there's some bands that we have signed that we know that they're not going to sell a whole lot, but we think what they're doing is super important, you know, either as feminists or as, you know, queer or whatever, you know, and there have been a lot of those over the years,
mm-hmm,
you know, so that we were not just like, oh yeah, we want to support you because we think you're going to sell a million records. It's like, we think what you're doing is important and needs to be heard. I think it's, you know, it's extremely present in all of our decision-making.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about the kind of more business side of things. I mean, obviously, Kill Rock Stars has a female president and vice president, which is, like, fairly rare, I think, for a record label.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just if you want to talk a little bit about that, like, how it's kind of affected maybe interactions with other labels or bands, or why you think it might be that you don't see a lot of women in those roles in the industry.
I have a theory about why we don't see women in these roles. I really feel like our culture does not encourage women to express themselves in the same way that it encourages men to. In very specific terms, it's like when Slim started this label, he was doing something that was basically like, I want to borrow money from somebody to do something that I think is really cool. And that's so egotistical in a way, you know, like it can be seen as this like total expression of ego. Like, I have an idea, I'm going to borrow some money, I'm going to do it, I don't care what anyone else wants. I really feel like women are not encouraged to take that position in society very often. And so, and because that's how record labels get started, I mean, uniformly, you go to a conference of record label owners, that is exactly how they all get started. It's like someone was like, I love this band, I want to put it out. You know, and it just doesn't happen that often that it's a woman starting it. That said, once someone's in the position of power, then it becomes like the curtain is gone. Like, people now just find out I'm the president and then they're like, please sign my band.
Right.
You know, like, it's totally, it's not, no one, I don't feel any discrimination or like, oh, you couldn't possibly be doing a good job or whatever we might think of as, you know, being treated differently.
And I noticed it very much so when it was Slim and I. You know, I mean, there were certain bands, even bands that I would sign, that would go to him for certain things. And, like, some magazine editors, I was a publicist for 8 years, 9 years, they would go directly to him for certain things. And I would just be like, is this a president thing or is this a man thing? Like, I can't quite get it. And now that it doesn't happen anymore, that really makes me think it was more gender. I was my own publicist for my band that was on Kill Rock Stars, and that's the one I had the hardest time with. I actually made Slim hire out second record, so I was just like, I can't do this.
But I think that publicity is a more acceptable field for women to go into in this culture because it's okay to have a strong personality, to be pushy and in your face when you're doing it on the behalf of someone else.
That's true. Yeah,
when
absolutely.
You're not doing it on your own behalf. And that's exactly the difference. It's like to be a label owner or to be someone who's starting their own business where it's just about themselves. Like, I think this is really important and I'm going to make everybody look at it, you know?
Yeah.
That's like very difficult for women in this culture to pull off.
Thanks so much to Portia, Maggie, and Slim for talking to us for the podcast.
This is only a small part of the interview. Stay tuned for more on topics ranging from the fetishization of vinyl records to the Performance Rights Act at bitchmagazine.org/audio.
The term buzz has several connotations, but bug sex was not one of the first things to come to mind. In her article, Wings of Desire, which she also illustrated, Keturah Reynolds explores what two out-of-the-ordinary nature shows reveal about gender norms through the sex lives of insects. Bitch intern Ashley Brittner reads an excerpt from the article about Isabella Rossellini's Green Porno.
Houseflies, we can all agree, are pretty gross. They swarm on piles of poo and then walk all over your sandwich. They buzz around your head and are almost impossible to swat. They spread disease and give birth to maggots. So unattractive. Nonetheless, actress Isabella Rossellini puts flies in the spotlight in Green Porno, her recent series of short films released by the Sundance Channel, bringing to light another fact about flies that you might not be familiar with. They are hunks of burning love. The 8 short films in Green Porno were written by Rossellini and co-directed with Jody Shapiro. They feature Rossellini acting out the sex lives of flies, praying mantises, earthworms, dragonflies, bees, fireflies, snails, and spiders. The films are simultaneously hilarious, scientifically accurate, unrepentantly corny, compellingly sexy, and completely bizarre. But what caught my attention was the way they flaunt established norms of gender and sexuality. According to the press release, Rossellini came up with the concept when she was invited to make short, flashy films about the environment. To me, flashy translated into sex, Rossellini explains. I've always been interested in animals and animal behavior, and everybody's interested in sex, so I figured, let's go there. Rossellini strives for a simple, childlike atmosphere in the films. She starts each in a bodysuit saying, "If I were," and then her costumes gradually build as the film progresses. Extra arms, compound eyes, snail shells, you name it. The props and supporting characters are made from giant cut paper sculptures, like she's wandered into a kindergarten classroom plastered in giant paper flowers. This schoolroom setting is chosen very deliberately. It's a foil for overtly sexual content. Rossellini gets it on with huge paper models of flies, mantises, and bees. She gasps and moans in orgasmic ecstasy as a firefly and a snail. She runs around waving hands covered in paper cutouts of sperm as a spider. As stated in the press release, if human, these acts would not be allowed to air on television. They would be considered filthy and obscene. But the silly costumes and absurd props distract audiences from the flagrantly, graphically sexual content. Comedy often serves as a harbor for the unspeakable. By laughing at the silliness of it all, we can disarm the taboo. Through gender bending, Rossellini also disarms the viewer. In 6 of the films, she plays the male sex partner, which makes her panting and moaning funny rather than uncomfortably smutty. Looking at it from another angle, imagine Nicolas Cage dressed in a bee suit, clutching his crotch, talking about his penis. Kind of uncomfortable, no. But a beautiful woman in a bee suit can get graphic with impunity. The audience is reassured that it's all just a game, since this actress doesn't really have a penis. Her fly, mantis, and dragonfly characters are absurdly macho, and her spider character pouts so very sadly while explaining that he doesn't actually have a penis. The dramatic scene featuring the breakaway penis of the male honeybee is so hammed up, it could be a Shakespearean tragedy. Though she never straps on a phallus, apart from leaving a wooden dowel sticking out of the cardboard cutout of the queen bee after her penis breaks off, Rossellini's pantomimes put her squarely in the role of the lusty, thrusting, stereotypical male. While popular culture often uses faux lesbian sex to titillate male viewers, it's not so often that we get to see the pretty female lead cast herself in such butch roles. It's certainly tongue-in-cheek, but a good part of the humor comes directly from the surprise of seeing this gender-bending acted out on a nearly mainstream screen. Although they are clearly aimed at cult audiences rather than primetime TV, Green Porno is working to shake up our own ideas of sexual norms.
For more on the gender-bending bugs and beasts of Green Porno and the British series, Dr. Tatiana's Sex Advice to All Creation, check out Bitch's latest Buzz issue. Season 2 of Green Porno can be viewed at SundanceChannel.com.
I have sold everything, still I have got some manners. And there's a hole in your head, spill your thoughts on the floor.
And now it's time for Ask Your Cervix.
Hi, Cervix. So we've received lots of letters the past few months concerning women and the state of the economy. Do you have any advice for people during these rough times? You know, for those recessionistas out there?
Recessionista this, staycation that. The cervix doesn't have time for all that shit.
You sound upset, cervix.
You're goddamn right I am. I'm in a fighting mood.
A fighting mood? But why, cervix?
Because women are being hit harder by this recession than men are. And yet all we hear in the media is about stupid recessionista coverage. That really chaps my hide. Well, cervixes don't really have hides, but it really chaps my...
Okay, cervix, we get it. So what is this about the recession hitting us harder?
Well, you know Senator Ted Kennedy? He must feel real bad about that Chappaquiddick thing because he's been all up in the country's grill about women's issues ever since. His office just released a report about the recession's effect on women.
What does it say?
Lots of stuff. It explains how and why females in this country are getting even more screwed by the economy than men. And it's got statistics out the yin-yang to back up that theory. Plus, it has suggestions on what the federal government ought to do to help women out during this time. And it's not that stupid recessionista advice like stop buying lattes for a week.
Wow, that sounds interesting, cervix. Where can I find a copy of this report?
Check out kennedy.senate.gov and tell them the cervix sent you.
Oh, cervix, you always know what to do. We've got some more questions here for you, too. Spring is here, and that means that everyone is thinking about...
Fucking!
I was going to say renewal and new birth, but I guess fucking, too.
Fucking, too. Electric boogaloo.
Well, something that goes along with all that spring boogaloo is eggs. You know, what with Easter and as a symbol of fertility and all.
Yep, eggs. I know all about them.
Oh, good, cervix. Then maybe you can explain something to me. Nowadays, the egg section down at my local co-op is all crazy. There are organic eggs, free-range eggs, natural eggs, all sorts of eggs. What's the difference between them all?
Oh, shit, I get this question all the time. And my answer is, you shouldn't eat eggs. They gum up the works.
Really, cervix?
Nah, just kidding. Look, here's what you need to know. American humane certified eggs come from hens that are not kept in cages, and space requirements mean they get to walk around and stuff. What they don't tell you is, this doesn't mean necessarily completely humane. With AHC eggs, hens can still be kept indoors all their lives, and beak cutting is allowed.
Ouch.
You betcha. Now, cage-free hens have it even worse. They're kept out of cages, technically, but there are no space regulations. So they could just sit there going crazy all their lives, and getting their beaks cut off to boot.
Yeesh.
Yep. In fact, that's pretty much how things roll when it comes to any of these labels. Words like natural, organic, and fertile don't really mean a whole lot. If you're worried about it, keep an eye out for eggs labeled animal welfare approved. This means the hens get to roam outside with adequate space to nest and engage in other activities. And no beak cutting or forced molting.
That sounds better, cervix.
Damn right. And did you know I was in a band called Forced Molting in high school?
Yeah. Okay, cervix, that's all the time we have for you today.
Okie doke, see you next time, and tell them the cervix sent you.
Tell who, cervix? That doesn't make any sense.
Oh, whatever.
And that was Ask Your Cervix. Thank you, cervix.
Andy Zeisler here. Many of you are anxiously awaiting your summer issue of Bitch, which was due to hit your mailboxes at the end of this month. Well, there's been a slight change of plans. You'll still be getting that issue, but not until September. We know, it sucks. But here's the deal. As most Bitch readers already know, the past few years have been a time of flux, both for Bitch and for the magazine industry as a whole. It's a cold, heartless world out there on the newsstand, and more magazines simply aren't surviving. We are, and we're happy to say it's largely because of the support of folks like you. But we're also pausing to regroup, revamp, and plan for the organization's smarter and more sustainable future. Just so we're clear, you're not losing a thing. The new Bitch that comes to you in September will be new and improved, with a snazzy redesign, brand new columns and features, and most important, a stronger organization behind it. You'll love it, we promise. Thanks for tuning in to another podcast from Bitch Radio. This podcast featured music from The Roulettes off of Lucky Madison Records, Tao and the Get Down Stay Down from Kill Rock Stars, and Olympia Washington's Romantique. Special thanks to Current.com and Kill Rock Stars. This podcast is produced by Julie Sabatier, directed by Sherston Johnson and Kelsey Wallace, written by Sherston Johnson, Kelsey Wallace, Andy Zeisler, Johnanna Widener, and Ashley Brenner. Thanks to all our listeners out there, and stay tuned for tons more audio soon to come to bitchmagazine.org.
Fuckin' 2, Electric Boogaloo.